At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This episode is sponsored by Cousins Nita's How to Become a Certified Home Inspector Workshop. The home inspection business is a multi-million dollar industry and is rapidly growing. Within this workshop, you will learn how to start your own home inspection company within the next 6 months, how you can make an extra $5,000 a month, and how to be your own boss. After you watch the home inspector workshop, you will know what education is required for your state, step-by-step guidance on the certification process, how to study for the national exam, how to market to your customers, and the 10 major home components to inspect. It also includes how to become a certified home inspector, the 2-hour workshop, replay of the live Q&A session, and presentation notes from the home inspector workshop. Now, the link will be in the description of this podcast episode if you want to get started today and purchase this workshop and be on your way to being a certified home inspector and making money.
Turn me up something.
Gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant. I study millionaires cause I was born a visionary. You still believe in limitations, why you acting scary? You can't distract me from the paper, I've been chasing greatness. I'm stacking now and balling later, in the conversation. We strategizing, monetizing, piling up investments. And sacrificing temporary shit for bigger blessings. Yeah, a tapped in boss mind state. I multiply my grind rate and I match the way I vibrate. Gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant.
This episode is also sponsored by Brian, the Infamous CPA's Blueprint, How to Make Passive Income in the Car Rental Industry. Within this course, Brian teaches you the overview of the rental car business, startup checklist and cost analysis, cash flow analysis and how to set rental prices, vehicle criteria, car maintenance protocol, how to handle tickets and tolls, how to handle car accidents, effectively marketing your vehicle, and more. If you want to get started with this course and start making money in the car rental industry, go to the link in our description and get started today. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Millionaire Mindsets Podcast. I am your host, Xavier, with my co-host, Deanna.
Hi, everybody.
And today, this is, in my opinion, I greatly believe this is a legendary episode for multiple reasons. First is because this is the first time that we have the CEO and the founder of a public traded company on our platform that we get to pick his brain. He gets to get exchange ideas and stuff like that. So we extremely excited to have him on the show. And he's the CEO and founder of Artificial Intelligence Technology Solutions, also known as AITX. I know a lot of our listeners, they are familiar. And if you're not, they will get familiar today. So we're extremely excited to have him on the show, like I said. So welcome to the show. His name is Steve Reinhardt. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Thanks, Xavier. Thanks, Deanna. I'm thrilled to be here. This is going to be really cool. I like the prep that we did briefly. So I think we're going to have a great conversation.
Definitely, I believe so. And I like to get right into things. So for the people who this may be their first time hearing of you, seeing you, do you mind just giving like a quick background on yourself?
Yeah, sure. Pardon me. My background is really a collection of experiences that I think led me to found AITX and run it to the point where it is now and beyond. So my experience, you know, started out in business at a young age and entrepreneurial activities from a very young age and leadership roles throughout my whole life and learning every step of the way, and which I continue to do. So started this company just about 5 years ago. And been through lots of ups and downs. And along the way, I've discovered and figured out, you know, I'm just going to 100% be myself all the time. And folks can either like it or dislike it. But I can't please all the people all the time. So right. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And I'm happy for people to jump on the train. And if you don't, I'm happy with that, too.
I love it. So how did you know, because I know people ask this question a lot, like, how did you know the entrepreneurial lifestyle works for you? And when did you know, like, this is, I'm going all in on this, it's nothing else? Yeah.
It's a great question. So, and this is something that I think for hopefully a lot of your viewers and a lot of all the viewers are asking themselves, because the answer might not be as people seem, as people expect. And by that, I mean that the expected answer from somebody like me might be, you can do it, blah, 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 right? And it's not the case. It's absolutely not the reality, okay? The reality is I think that for many of us entrepreneurs, it's an affliction. It's an unsettledness in our character. It's desire to perform, constantly perform and constantly outperform. And in my case, specifically, and I think this is goes with other folks as well, is it's not for monetary reward. That's not the motivator. The motivator for me, and I think many others, is simply fulfilling my potential and living every day to my maximum. And I'll share with you, I call it an affliction because it leads you down some very difficult roads. And so, you know, on the one hand, I want to say, hey, this isn't for everybody by any stretch of the imagination. On the other hand, I want to say, look deep within yourself. If you've been in leadership roles, you know, consistently as a teen and a young adult into your mid-20s, you probably have some level of this affliction. If you've been just happy taking jobs and working and following the herd and doing all that stuff, which is fantastic. There's no judgment from my side. The last thing in the world you'll get from me is judgment. But if that's the kind of personality you are, then fantastic. You can hope and dream and be a wannapreneur. Taking that leap to an entrepreneur might not be suited for you. So this is not suited for everybody. There's many, many, many downtimes along the way.
And you've been doing this since the age 23, 24, correct?
Yeah, that's when I moved to the States, opened up my first business, which I ran for 8 years until I lost it all at 31 years old.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday.
We did.
Briefly.
Sure, part of the journey. Yeah. But even before that, you know, my first real entrepreneurial activity was when I was in university and I wrote this first book on artificial intelligence. And, you know, I was lucky enough leading up to that time that the town in Toronto that I lived, I had gotten into the city at a super young age because the city had mixed up. They thought my dad was on city council. Like my dad lived in Montreal. Like we weren't even in the same city, right? So I got the job because the last names were kind of the same. So they give me the job. I'm, you know, 16 years old. I'm 140 pounds. I'm working with guys, you know, that are second, third year college students, you know, bulked up. We're working, you know, manual labor, parks and recreation, right? And I get this job and I don't know what the heck I'm doing. I don't even have a driver's license, you know, like I should not have gotten this job. And And one day the shop foreman, you know, he calls me into his office and he's like, "Hey, Steve," he's like, "Hey, dude." And I'm shaking, you know, because I know I'm in the wrong place. And and he's like, "Listen, you know, you should put a word in with your dad that, you know, we're doing a good job over here, right?" And I was like, "All right. I mean, I'll tell him." You know, I'm not going to care, but I'll tell him. He's like, "What do you mean he's not going to care?" I was like, my dad's in Montreal. And he's like, "Oh, you're not the son of S." Like, I don't know who you're talking about.
They got anyway, to the job, though.
Yeah, kept the job for 4 years, and it was amazing. But in the fifth year, I was like, you know what? I want to try something a little different. So I wrote the book, and, you know, I talk about the affliction. I wrote the book. I left this cushy job that probably that summer or for that period of time, I would have made maybe 12 grand, like for 3 months worth of work. A lot of money at the time. We're talking early 90s. And wrote the book, got a loan, you know, went through all the stages that you go through and you start a business, and spent the summer selling that book to high schools around Toronto and around Ontario. So that was my first real kind of entrepreneur stuff, but a lot of other little things in school and in class along the way. I don't even remember where I was going with all that.
It's all good. No worries. But getting into AITX, so what was the inspiration behind that? Why did you start? What made you start that company?
I've passed up a lot of opportunities that I've been blessed to receive over the course of my career. You know, like one of them was with a company, you know, that Google bought out a couple of years later, right? Like that was a big miss on my part. Just a lot of things like that. Like another company that I would have had millions of dollars worth of shares at this point, you know, like stuff like that. So, you know, I've always been forward looking. I've always looked at manpower and sociology and psychology and history and all of these liberal arts, more or less, trying to understand what decisions people are making and what direction society is heading. And that led me into artificial intelligence and led me into the future of work, which led me to the, you know, to me, which is a given that autonomous devices are going to be performing a lot of different tasks, including security tasks, over the next 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years. And I want to be a part of that. And I know that security tasks performed by AI-enabled devices are going to be huge, billions and billions of dollars. So it leads me back to the point, which is, why not I be the guy who does that? Mm-hmm. And that's basically it. And that idea, why don't I be the guy, is really what carried me through a lot of the dips that we've had. It's like, I'm not quitting. I'm going to be that guy. Mm. And now we're here.
And I think that says a lot, because a lot of times as an investor, people buy into the CEO, oftentimes more than they buy into the actual company. They say, I look at Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk, I believe in that person, so I'm going to invest in this company. And I see something similar with you. When I look up your company and do research on it, I see a lot of people have the same thoughts and ideas with you. They say, Steve's a great leader. He's a great CEO. I love everything that he's doing. So that says a lot about you. And I want to give a shout out to a friend of mine. Her name is Alexis, because she's the one that introduced me to AITX. I heard her talking about it in about December or January on Twitter. And she's a beast at what she does when it comes to investing. So I seen her talk about it. I'm like, let me go do some research on this. Like we tell a lot of our listeners, don't just buy something just because somebody tweeted. Go do your research. I went to go do my research. I looked into Steve. I'm like, wow, this industry, this company has a lot of room for growth. And as of now, I have about, I plan on buying every single month. Right now I have about 25,000 shares, but I plan on to keep buying. And this is, let me say this also for the people that's listening, because this is our first time having a company that's publicly traded. This isn't an ad. Steve didn't pay me to come on here or anything like that. I actually reached out to him and he was kind enough to come on the show. I seen everything he was doing. I seen the interview he did. I'm like, man, let me reach out to Steve to see if I can get him on. And he was like, let's do it. So he's on the show. I just wanted to say that so people don't think, like, you know what I'm saying? Oh, yes. Did he pay them to come on? No, he didn't. He didn't pay me nothing to come on. I reached out to Steve. Yep. And he's on the show. So, like I said,
thanks. And we've never paid anybody for any type of promotion like this at all. It's actually a big no-no as a public company with the type of registration that we have to do any type of paid promotion. So there is no paid promotion. There's no paid promotors. I'll shout out to Alexis as well. Hey, thanks for spreading the word. Yeah, I hope you helped make a lot of people a lot of money. So that was really cool, Alexis.
She's a big fan and a big investor.
I love that. That's great. Yeah. You know, I get those comparisons to those, you know, incredible icons of industry and business. And, you know, they're flattering for sure. In no way do I consider myself in those categories whatsoever, but nonetheless, it's flattering to hear the comparison, and it's inspiring as well.
What do you think about people? Because this happens a lot. You're on Twitter. I know you've probably seen it yourself. You know, people will buy investments of companies simply off of people tweeting it. What do you think about that?
All the time.
You're speaking my language. I hate that. It drives me crazy. I use a couple examples to explain why it drives me crazy. Deanna, let me ask you a couple questions. Deanna, what kind of car do you drive?
A Mercedes.
Wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Deanna, how many cars did you test drive before you bought the Mercedes?
One car.
Just one. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Nonetheless, that is probably more research than a ton of people do when they're investing in OTC stocks. You know, they see one tweet and then they buy, right? And the problem with that for me is, number one, I think it's irresponsible. One other car already, Deanna, you know, before you made a choice with your money, and yet people will make choice on Twitter with their money without even doing that. The problem is that if you're a hype buyer, if you're one of those buyers that buy on hype, then you have an expectation because the hype builds you up. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, the stock's going to double. And the next week, it's going to triple. And then you're going to be retired, you know, buying Lamborghinis in, you know, the Bahamas for the rest of your life. Right? Like that's an exaggeration of the thought process. And problem with that is, number one, it ain't going to happen. I mean, it's rare. Yeah. It's going to happen, right? Number two, after it doesn't happen, everybody comes after me like I did something wrong, you know?
Exactly.
And it's just annoying for me, you know? It's just annoying. So one of the key reasons why I am so present, or I hope to be present, on different social media platforms and accessible. And, you know, Xavier, I was so glad when you reached out for the interview, because I love the chance to learn, listen, engage, and share, is so that there's lots of different types of media available about the company. So, hey, maybe you're a YouTube learner. Great. We've got YouTube stuff. Maybe you like podcasts. Great. Maybe you like Twitter. Maybe you like this. I want to be across those segments so that I can appeal to people and they could learn before they make the decision to invest or trade.
That's what it's about. And this is why, because I didn't bring you on here for people just go buy a company. If that's something they do after hearing this, great. You know what I'm saying? Because we know how investments can go. You can make a lot of money. There's no guarantee. Nobody can guarantee.
No guarantee.
Exactly. That's the risk you're willing to take. But I want to ask, because we didn't get to go into this yet. So for the people who don't know what AITX is, could you just describe what it is?
Yeah, sure. What we're doing is we're using a combination of new technologies, and we're creating devices and processes that leverage the new technology. So I'll be very specific. That's at the highest level. From the next level, what we're trying to do is we're bringing workforce automation to solve company challenges. And drilling down a little bit further, let's say that you have a security officer at a gate. It's got to let you in through the gate, right? I've got equipment that will replace that job. Okay, there's no question about it. Now, I want to share with you that, hey, you know, it is what it is. That's the reality. And it might not be politically or socially popular to say that that's what we're doing, but it's what businesses have been doing since the invention of the wheel. It's literally the wheel, right? So in the old days, you had to take like four, five, six guys and girls to carry rocks from the riverbed to build your house, right? And then some guy made the wheel, they made the wagon. Hey, what'd those four or five other girls and guys have to go do? They have to go figure something else out. And this has been happening in history over and over and over again. One of my favorite analogies is in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, there used to be, AT&T used to have buildings all over the country filled with switchboard operators. And the switchboard operator would get the call, and then they plug it into this switch, and it'd route over there, and then another switchboard operator, blah, 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 right? Thousands of jobs were switchboard operators. It was a good job, good pay, benefits, pension, the whole deal. Microprocessor came, wiped that job category out. So I don't want people to be fearful of the fact that jobs are going to change. Jobs have always been changing.
Right.
And one of the reasons why I love coming on these things is I love challenging people and saying, hey, look at your job and think to yourself, is this really a skill that's going to exist in 5 years or 10 years? Mm. Prepare yourself for the future. Last thing on this, Xavier and Deanna, that I want to share is humanity. I gave you the analogy of the rocks and the cart and the wheel, right? Mm-hmm. What do those four or five people do, right? They went and they figured out another job that they would do, right? And this brings me back to not religious faith, but human faith, faith in humanity. We are an industrious, hardworking species. Mm-hmm. Thank you. We are industrial, hardworking species. I'll give you an example. You guys finished off military careers. Thank you very mm-hmm. much. Wonderful. Putting yourself at risk. I hope you guys are okay. We know there could be challenges coming out. So my best sincere wishes for you guys. But you guys are now building your audience with the video blogging and so on and so forth, right? That job didn't exist 5 years ago.
Not at all.
You guys are doing a brand new job, yeah. Right? How many other jobs are brand new that didn't exist 5 years ago? Social influencers, you know, mm-hmm. the list goes on and on and on. So I'm saying at the end of the day, we've got thousands of years of history showing that humanity will build new jobs, will build better jobs. And it's incumbent upon all of us to have our eyes open, to prepare ourselves for what's going to come. Because whether you like it or not,
it's coming. I agree with that wholeheartedly, because I even remember, like, you know, I would hear about how like robots was going to replace, like, in the security fields. And as when I was younger, that would kind of be kind of spooky to me, like, man, that's kind of crazy. But like you said, whether you like it or not, it's coming regardless. So why not try to get some sort of advantage within an industry, within a field? You can make early moves when it comes to investing or anything like that. Why not do it? Because it's coming whether you like it or not.
It's come whether you like it or not. And I'll tell you that I'm part of this sea of change, this fourth industrial revolution that has a lot of these different solutions that are in the works and coming into society. And all, you know, you hit one word, which I'm going to key on, Xavier, which is spooky. It is spooky. It's spooky to me. This is uncharted territory mm-hmm. and for humanity. We don't know where it's going to go, but I know in the limited vision that I have, that it's incumbent upon me to share with people, to challenge themselves. You know, if you're in a low-end job, right, that's dirty, dull, mundane, or dangerous, expect that there's a bunch of people around the world focused on how to get you out of that job. It's just how it is. We don't want humans to do that job. We want to do safe jobs, better jobs, higher-paying jobs, jobs that use more of this and less of this.
You're right. Absolutely. So,
anyway, hopefully that message gets to a few folks and we can challenge some people to work on their own skills.
Definitely.
I think that's amazing because it goes back to what we were talking about earlier as far as long-term thinking. And I think everyone owes it to ourselves and the next generations coming up is to think long-term and always be paying attention to how the world is evolving. But I do want to go back to the company as far as the product that you guys offer. Will it only be applicable to the security realm within an organization, or does it apply to other parts of the organization?
That's such a great question, Deanna. Deanna, for the listening audience, we did not set up that question. There are no.
None of this is just going with the flow.
It's all ad hoc. It's all ad hoc. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I love the question because it gives me an opportunity to share some additional information, right?
Yes.
So the short answer to the question is that the devices do much more than just security. And I love the question because it allows me to explain the process of invention and creation. I'm not in the business of saying, oh, this officer is doing this, so we're going to have the robot do this. Instead, what I'm saying is hey, this officer is doing this, and they're limited by their form as a human mm-hmm. to literally only do that. If I'm creating a new form, you know, a new physical form, new software, firmware, all that stuff, what else can I do? How can I create something that's better, you know, that does more? In our particular case here, what we're doing is we want to perform the core security functions, and we want to perform messaging, and we want to uplift the areas, not just through security presence, but also through positive messaging and sharing information. We have one of my real passions is using these devices to bring services into underserved communities.
Mm-hmm.
So in Fort Worth, actually, just up the street from where you guys are at, we have two of our SCOT units in areas that are somewhat service challenged. And with Trinity Metro, and they're bringing, you know, bus schedules to people that might not have mobile devices, that might not know what the bus schedule is, just as a simple example. And they're bringing a physical presence into an area where it might be dangerous to put a human or impossible to put a human, but we could put a SCOT device. We could put one of our tall towers there to deliver services, safety, and connectivity back to services. So that's what I'm saying. I'm saying we do much more than just replace the person. I want to extend services well beyond what generally mm-hmm. organizations can afford with human manpower.
Wow. Amazing. That's amazing. That is amazing. I wanted to ask, so as far as like competition, is what gives you the edge over your competitors?
Yeah, I think that, well, first of all, I don't really think we have any direct competitors.
Mm.
You know, we have a couple sort of fringe competitors-ish. Our main competitor is what we're talking about on the call, which is who's going to see the future and act on it. So our main competitor are people doing the same thing in security that they've done for the last 50 or 60 or 70 years. That's what our main competitors. Our main competitor is whom I call inertia, not moving anywhere. That is our main competitor. Mm. I think that from an industry standpoint, our biggest strength is our team's thought leadership, is how we communicate to the industry about how things are changing, how we engage. You know, I come from the industry, from the security industry, and I've been part of that machine for my whole career. So I understand how they communicate, and we're coming in it with new information, new processes. I think that's one of our critical strengths. The last critical strength, you know, because we have a few, is I would say our team. We've managed to just assemble a fantastic team, and it's overwhelmingly one of our strengths, the product that we put out, how it gets out, how we treat our customers. And that comes back to the people that do it, people on the AITX.
I love it. And from the research I've done, it looks as if you guys are light years ahead of the people that may be even thinking about getting into this industry. And that was another reason why I'm going to keep investing, why I decided to invest. I noticed that you guys are, I think you guys are much in a better position than the people who may even, like I said, may even be thinking about getting into this field. You guys are light years ahead.
I hope so. And I'll share with you that I do feel pretty confident right now that mm-hmm. we've got a couple year advantage on pretty much anybody.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's my job to be paranoid and keep pushing the limit on development and keep coming out with new stuff, new hardware, new software, and lengthen that lead between us and anybody else, number one. And number two, increase the expense of anybody who decides, hey, I like what those guys are doing, I'm going to try and do it myself. So now we're at a point where, hey, that might cost $30, $40 million for anybody to really recreate the full suite of what we've done. And maybe in a year, that cost is going to be $60, $70, $80,000. Maybe in 2 years, it's going to be $100,000. That's what I want to do. I want to stretch out that lead And I've got plans on how we're going to open it up and make it really cool. But in any case, I've said too much.
I do have another question, though. But would you all pretty much leading the way for this new industry and, you know, not having a blueprint to really follow in terms of having a company who's already done this before, what are the biggest challenges or risks that you see in the future of the company moving forward?
Biggest challenge initially was communicating the vision to the team and having everybody kind of start moving in the same direction, because it really was and is a different language than anybody ever experienced before. You know, a lot of people will revert back to their old habits, their old ways of communicating, the old solutions that they thought, you know, they should be doing. So just kind of even taking my team and putting them in this new mind space was probably the biggest challenge. Now the biggest challenge is taking the whole industry and moving them into the new mind space, right? So those are the biggest challenges. Deanna, I forgot the second part of your question.
I did. I was just really saying the biggest risk and challenges that you see moving forward in the future for you guys as leading the way in the industry.
Yeah, I think that there's a series of unknown challenges that I just don't know about and unknown threats that I don't know about. Those for me are, I think, our biggest challenges. Right? Like, I don't know what else people are doing and, you know, in their shops and stuff. So that's a risk that we don't know. It's just a standard business risk, but my job is to try to learn and figure it out and get ahead of it. Beyond that, I think it's just a matter of not taking the foot off the gas pedal, of not being complacent and continuing to drive hard. You know, it's pretty clear sailing. It's not like I could point to anything and say, hey, this is a big risk impending that I'm aware of. There is nothing I'm aware of, except for my own paranoia, mainly.
Oh man, see, I know we run out of time. We're gonna have to do another one of these.
Sure.
I could go on and on about this conversation. But before we let you go, I just had one final question. It was popped up in my head. So what would you say to investors and people that may hear this and they might be thinking about investing in a company? What would your message be to those people?
Yeah, so I'm going to make it general, not just specific to AITX, right? But, you know, number one, you said it, and I was so glad you did, Xavier, you know, don't invest off of a tweet, you know, and don't invest off of a tweet from some anonymous handle.
You know, better.
It's like a stranger coming up to you and saying, hey, can I get $1,000? I'm going to put it into this company. Like, that's literally the physical equivalent, right?
Yeah.
So do that. The second thing is, you know, there's going to be opportunities that come and go. You're going to miss opportunities, right? Yep. And you're going to kick yourself, especially if you're investing. Oh man, I should have done. Oh man, I bought 2 days late. Oh man, da, 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 right? At the end of the day, my suggestion is don't follow fear of missing out. Know what you're going to do. Know that you're going to miss out on a few. Know that it's probably going to save you money in the long term. And just be smart, conservative, patient, ask questions, research online, and just be mature about it. This is your money. I mean, you've worked hard for it, you know? So that's the best advice I could share.
Okay. I love it.
Great advice.
That's great advice. And like I said, we ran a couple of minutes over time, but before we wrap up, I just want to say, Steve, we really appreciate you coming on, taking time out your busy schedule. Like I said, we're going to have to do a part two of this, because I know people going to do it again. And before we let you go, where can the people find you, follow you? They want more information, everything like that.
Sure. I recommend start your due diligence at AITX.AI. as the website. You'll see a link to follow me on Twitter. That's I put out more or less daily updates on Twitter, sharing. Even if you're not going to invest in AITX, I hope you follow our journey, because we're sharing the inner workings of how tech companies get started, grow, expand, and hopefully you'll find it entertaining along the way.
Definitely. And also follow them on Twitter. I think you guys could benefit from that as well. Yeah. And I'm going to make sure I put that in the description. What are you going to say?
Thank you. Twitter's a big deal for us.
It's an undervalued tool. Definitely. Yeah, definitely. Thank you. And that's all we have for you, Steve. Unless you had anything else for us.
No, I mean, I wanted to dive more into your guys' background, but
let's do it. We can, I didn't want to go over your time.
I mean, Xavier. So tell me. So you grew up in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Which branch of the service did you go into?
Air Force.
You went into Air Force, right?
Yes, sir.
And you did overseas tours, or just?
I did one overseas tour. I went to Qatar. I went to LUD. That's in Doha, Qatar. I was there for about 7 months. I did that in 2017. I joined in 2013, and I did six years.
Good for you.
Yeah. Well done. Deanna,
I can't hear you. What you say?
What about your experience? How long did you do?
Well, I did 4 years in the Air Force as a paralegal. So I worked in our legal office for Beale Air Force Base, and it was a very interesting position to have. I also I ran our victim and witness advocate program for victims and witnesses of crimes. I did that while I was there the entire time, and I ran our tax center for 4 months during my last year in the military.
Well, that's great experience, and that's a hard job, Deanna.
It was very hard.
Did that inspire you to do any work in law enforcement at all?
No, it did not. I really considered going to law school afterwards, but I took some time while I was finishing up my bachelor's degree to really just explore and learn different things about myself. And right now I'm on the path to being a project manager. So I'm working on my master's in project management. So once that's all done, hopefully I'll be moving right on into the industry.
I hope so. Are you doing PMP degree or just a project management mm-hmm. degree?
Yeah, PMP.
I tell you, it's a well sought after position. So it's a mm-hmm. great career. And I'll share with you, I do not necessarily see automation replacing that job.
I think it's definitely going to be a while.
that's good news for you, Deanna.
Yes, yep. It is. So yeah. I'm very excited to, you know, really get into it some more.
Good stuff. I hope we connect again, guys. Thank you for your time. Great questions. A pleasure meeting both of you.
Likewise. We definitely have to do this again. And to wrap it up, thank you guys for listening to another episode of Millionaire Mindsets. You guys can follow me on all platforms at Xavier C. Miller. You can also follow Deanna.
At Deanna Kent on Twitter and Instagram.
And that's all we have. Thanks you guys for tuning into another episode. So see you guys next episode. Peace.
Turn me up something.
Gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No, Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant. I study millionaires cause I was born a visionary. You still believe in limitations, why you acting scary? You can't distract me from the paper, I've been chasing greatness. I'm stacking now and balling later, end the conversation. We strategizing, monetizing, piling up investments. And sacrificing temporary shit for bigger blessings. Yeah, a tapped in boss mind state. I multiply my grind rate and I match the way I vibrate. Gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No, Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and diminished our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make a variety of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton and adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.